skies rolled back. What a sight to behold when an angel appeared to the shepherds and spoke glory. As they trembled with fear, he said, "Don't be afraid. Oh, I come with good news. The Savior is born on this day." And it echoed like thunder as every angel voice sang, "Glory, glory."
Of peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And how I long for that day when he is ruling and reigning. And it seems like it's far away, but it's coming soon. And he will reign forevermore. And so we're going to worship him then, and we're going to worship him now. So let's stand and worship.
Shall reign forevermore, forevermore. travel far. If I were a shepherd, I would do my part. But poor as I am, I will give to him my heart. And he shall
forevermore, forevermore, and
Jesus. Lord, what a sweet time to be in your presence and to be worshiping you and to be praising you. Lord, that's all we want to do is just worship you over and over. Jesus, we need you. We're desperate for you. We're desperate for your presence. And Lord, just like we need water and we need food, Lord, you are that to our spirit. Lord, you're more valuable to us than the things that we depend on for life, because in you we have eternal life. Thank you for giving us that life. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your water, the water of life that you hold, Lord. So just thank you for letting us come, that you give freely. So Lord, we want to take from you this morning and just be blessed. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Have a seat. Have a seat. Welcome to Calvary Chapel and Merry Christmas. Praise the Lord. So glad you're with us this morning. We have a very special day and a very special morning. A very dear friend from many years back, Rodrigo Rodriguez, is here to bless us. And if you don't know who Rodrigo is, you will by the time you're done today. So let's give a warm Calvary Chapel welcome to Rodrigo Rodriguez.
Morning. It's a wonderful honor to be worshiping the Lord here today. I would love to share with you my story. probably is the same U.S. story. We were born in different locations, but by the end of the day, we have the same emotions, same needs. I was born in Quito, Ecuador, South America. Coming from a family that go to church two times in the year, Christmas and Easter. I grew up in a kind of religious family. I didn't know relationship with Jesus. Remember, Christmas used to be a time like a social event. Mom cooking more than the normal, eating more than the normal, eating candies, lots of wine, giving away some gifts, receiving some gifts. That was my Christmas. 31 years ago, a friend of mine invited me to church, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, Pastor Chuck Smith. And when Pastor Chuck was sharing that day, Matthew 16:26, "For what a profit is for a man to gain all this world if he loses his own soul." And that really hit me that day, because I spent many years of my life trying to be the best. When I was 10 years old, I found my little idol, my little God. And I put all my life, all my expectations, all my dreams in my career. I was looking desperately for happiness. You see, happiness is different to joy. Happiness you can buy in Nordstrom or Target. But the joy of the Lord is like a umbilical cord between his heart and your heart. And as I was missing that joy of the Lord, the relationship with the Lord. And that's what for me now, Christmas is not about gifts, because I have the gifts of salvation. We have the gifts of salvation. We're going to be eternity in heaven, looking the amazing God with thousands of angels. And that's my gift, to know that God knows my name, that God knows your name. So is a difference in my Christmas, and I hope that's yours also.
Thank you.
I'm going to play one more song. This one is one of my very favorite Christmas carols. Very simple song. The Little Drummer Boy. When I play this song, I reflect on my heart. What can I give to God? What can I give to the one who has the power over life and death? What can I give to the King of the universe? I have nothing to give him except one thing. My life, my commitment, my love, my respect. Before I play the song, I would love to share with you a picture of two imaginary boxes. In my left, I have a big box, very luxury box, with a nice bowl on top. Inside of this box, dreams, goals, careers, savings accounts, master degrees, traveling, emotions. And when I see my box, it's almost empty because I expend it all. Why is empty? Because this one is not supposed to last. It's circumstantial. Happiness. Then I saw this little box in my right hand. Very small box with a note inside of the box. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will be saved. And I decide to keep this one because this one is everlasting. This one's going to allow me to go to heaven, and I want to keep this one. Weather will change, economy will change, people will change, presidents will change. But God never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And just in him I put all my trust. I don't know how big is your box today. I don't know if it's empty or it's half or 75%. But I assure you that someday it's going to go empty. I don't know what is your situation. I don't know if your kids are running away from the Lord. I don't know if your marriage is in danger. I don't know if your identity in this world is more powerful than your identity in the Lord. But whatever your situation is, if you are missing this little box of God's promises, today is the day that you have to accept it by faith. The gods love you so much. Isaiah 41:13 says, I am the Lord your God who holds your right hand. Don't be afraid. I will help you. Look at your right hand. The King of the universe is holding it. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Make this Christmas time a time of reflecting heart with a grateful heart, because he loves you so much and he loves me so much. The Little Drummer Boy.
is. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Let's say hello. Greet somebody. While you're standing, say hello to somebody. Greet them. A great morning. What a blessing, huh? I knew it'd be a treat for you. I got the blessing of going through this four times. I got to hear him. What a blessing. I was excited each service. I'm ready. I love it. Ministers to my soul. And really, I think that's what God is doing today. God is ministering to us through song, and he's going to minister to us through word. But before that, one quick announcement. Remember, tonight there's no service. Tonight you're free just to be with family and enjoy your family, enjoy your Christmas. Also, at the table back there on your way out, he has his CDs back there if you want to buy a CD. I'm sure the Christmas CD is there, as well as I'm sure some of his other stuff back there if you want to go back there and meet his lovely wife, Mary, and she'll be selling them. The last two services, I thought that it was Mary that was back there, but actually my daughter. She said, please go tell Dad to tell everybody I'm not his wife. So, but Mary really is back there now. So Mary's there, you get to meet Mary. And speaking of Mary, we're going to be looking today at Christmas through the eyes of Joseph and Mary. You know, it's interesting, on Wednesday night, for those of you that were there with us at the Clayton Center, we had a wonderful time looking at the Christmas story, the traditional Christmas story. We had Isaac with us. It was a great evening, just a blessing. If you didn't get to be there, I'm sorry you missed that. We had a blast. And we looked at the Christmas story. However, we're going to look at it again today, but from a different angle. We looked at it from the birth of Christ and just a pure, straightforward Christmas story. But today we're going to look at it through the eyes of Joseph and Mary, and it may not be exactly the way you think that it would be, and maybe you hadn't thought about it until we pointed it out today. So let's pray and ask God to bless our time together in his word. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, God, for bringing Rodrigo here. What a blessing he was and is, and we thank you for his lovely wife, Mary, and just them being with us here on Christmas Eve. And Lord, how you ministered now through music. And truly, God, music reaches the soul in ways that other things just simply can't do. And I thank you for the sweet ministry of music to our soul. Now, God, I pray you would do a sweet ministry of your word. God, that you would now speak to us from your word. And God, for those that are here this morning that are rejoicing, praise the Lord. But God, for all those here this morning that are having deep sorrow at this time of Christmas, I pray that you would now speak to them in a special and powerful way. And you would let them know that, God, you understand what they're going through. And not only do you understand what they're going through, Joseph and Mary knew what they were going through, and they knew it in the very first Christmas. And so I pray now you bless our time, God. We wait on you, and we're anxious to hear how you're going to minister through your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, as I said, guys, we're looking at a different angle this morning, looking at Joseph and Mary, the eyes of Christmas through Joseph and Mary. And again, we think about Christmas time. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of celebration. And so it should be. This is when the Lord came to the earth. We celebrate him coming to the earth and all that went with that. But for some of you this morning, no doubt you're going through a time of sorrow. And again, it's for you, Christmas time could be a very hard time. You see everyone else rejoicing, and because of your sorrow, whether maybe it's a new sorrow or a sorrow that just brings to your memory because of Christmas, you're having that happen, and it's causing greater sorrow and sometimes deep depression in people, and we don't realize that. Sometimes we think that everyone is rejoicing at Christmas, but the reality is everyone is not always rejoicing at Christmas, but God has hope for everyone. And I believe that God wants to give you a message of hope if you're in that place of sorrow this morning, that you can be rejoicing in the Lord before you leave this place. Again, it seems like that oftentimes, I'm reminded each year of different tragedies that happen in people's lives. And it happens around Christmas, so it brings it back to your mind. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. Maybe it's a dissolved marriage. Maybe an unexpected event that radically changed your life. But either way, there's something that's happened that rather than joy, you have sorrow. And again, what you need to know, what you need to realize is that you're not alone. Even though the sorrow is real, God is able to overcome that sorrow, and God is able to bring you joy in this Christmas season. And I believe what God put in my heart to do today was encourage you in that very thing. to let you know if you're one of those that's going through a time of sorrow, God sees you, God knows it, and God is going to minister to you not only now, but through the rest of the holiday season. But you need to cry out to him, and you need to turn your eyes to him, and that's exactly what I want to encourage you to do today. And I think the first thing that you need to know this morning, if you're in a time of sorrow while everyone else is rejoicing, is you're not alone. Oftentimes we think we're the only ones going through this, and the enemy comes in and tells us, you're the only one that's going through times of sorrow. That's not true. There are many people that are struggling this time of year, many people that go through times of sorrow. This is one of the saddest times of year for certain people. It shouldn't be so for a believer, but the reality is sometimes it is. And so God has to get a hold of our heart and turn our eyes back gently back to him and help us to realize why it is that we're rejoicing and the reason we can rejoice and the hope that we have. And so again, as we look at this through Joseph and Mary's eyes, I think it's going to give you a whole different picture than the way you've looked at this before if you've never thought about it. Again, because what Joseph and Mary went through in the first Christmas is very likely what you're going through this morning if you have some type of sorrow. Now, the sorrows may not be exactly the same, but indeed it is a sorrow nonetheless. And so God is here again to minister to you and try to, again, encourage your heart. You know, you think about Christmas, and I think what makes it so hard if you're going through a time of sorrow when everyone else is rejoicing, what a contrast that is. Everyone else seems so happy. And of course, you see all the commercials and the shows and everyone, whatever it might be. And you know inside you're silently dying. All that does is magnify the pain and magnify the hurt. For most of us, Christmas started out as only a time of fun. Being children, we looked forward to it. We were excited. Everything was new. Everything was magical. But the reality is we get older and life doesn't always stay that way, does it? Life happens and we go through times rather than having great joy into times of great hardship. And again, this is something that God knows as well. And again, something that Joseph and Mary went through. Again, just to give you a few of the contrasts before we jump into the scriptures. And by the way, I'm not going to have you open your Bibles today. We normally do that as we go through the word, as you know. But because it is a topical and because it's a little bit shorter teaching than normal because of our wonderful mini concert here with Rodrigo, I'm going to put them up on the screen for you. But I want to note some things before we get to the scriptures here and show you the contrast that you may not have thought about and how up and down the first Christmas really was for Joseph and Mary. Note this, again, the night that Jesus was born, it was a time of joy. It was a time of rejoicing. Imagine being told by an angel that you were the one that's going to bring in the Messiah. But then 8 days later, they go to dedicate Jesus at the Temple Mount. And at that time, Simeon prophetically speaks and says, you know what? Jesus is going to cause all kinds of problems in the nation of Israel. He's going to search everyone's heart. But you, Mary, you as well are going to have your own soul pierced through as though with a spear or a sword. Even as Jesus, we know, was pierced through on the day he was crucified. And so Mary is going to see that later, but it was prophesied about the sorrow that would be coming. And Mary knew that was not a good prophecy. And so she went from a time of great joy at the Christmas season to suddenly a time of great sorrow at the Christmas season as well. Well, I think about also that it was a great time of joy when the wise men showed up. Remember, they were very meager. They didn't have a lot of money. We know that historically. And the wise men show up and they bring them gold and frankincense and myrrh. But again, in a very short amount of time, we know that Herod commanded his armies to go down and kill all the babies 2 years old and younger and to destroy them. And had it not been for an angel warning Joseph about this and Mary and getting them out of there, he could have been a casualty of that as well, which of course God wouldn't have allowed to happen. But again, from a time of great joy of how God had blessed them even financially, came great sorrow. And not just great sorrow for their grieving over their fellow Israelites there in Bethlehem, but remember, Joseph and Mary were from Bethlehem. And very likely, some of those babies that were put to death, it's very possible they were related to in some form and fashion. And so imagine the sorrow and the great pain they went through at the Christmas time of the death of someone they greatly loved, and a surprise death, a shock death, a death that seems like, how could somebody so young be taken? And yet the worst that you could ever imagine had taken place. That's what they were dealing with. Again, Jeremiah speaks about this prophetically in Jeremiah 31, verse 15. And it says, thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, that is Bethlehem, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more, prophesying about all these children that would be killed, the children, the descendants of Rachel, the children of Israel. So again, another hardship at Christmas time, a shocking death, if you will. But it didn't end there. Again, the Bible tells us that it goes on to other things that happen. As a matter of fact, before we read that, let me remind you, the Bible says that Jesus himself was a man of sorrows. And so if you're in that time of sorrow, the Lord knows what you're feeling. He knows what you went through. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. It says of Jesus, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now think about that. We all know what the word acquainted means. We have friends that we are acquainted with. We have those that we have acquaintances with. How would you like to have your acquaintances be acquaintances of grief? Some of you may be saying, you're exactly describing my friends. But some of you are going, you know what? I feel that I am acquainted with grief right now. Grief has become my friend, but not in a good way. Not a friend that I wanted to have, but it's so close to me all the time. It's like one of my best friends. The Lord knew that. He was acquainted with grief. You know what the Bible says? God allowed that to grow and to do things in Jesus. Even though he was God as a man, he suffered for us in our sake. And God allows us to go through these things as well. The Bible says we partake in his suffering that we may partake in the fellowship of his joy. We literally partake in the fellowship of his suffering. Again, not a verse we necessarily want to memorize or think about. But the reality is God allows this to happen. And I want to encourage you, if you're going through that moment right now in that fellowship of suffering, in the acquaintance of grief, if you will, God is doing this for a reason. This is not random. This is not by chance. God is allowing this to happen because he's making you more like the Lord. He's making you more like Joseph and Mary, who he had to, again, bring to a place to be ready to raise the Messiah. Now, we know that the Father in heaven truly was the one that raised him, but his earthly mother and father, they had to be equipped to be able to handle what God had called them to do. And some of you are going through grief right now like Joseph and Mary because God is equipping you to handle what he wants you to do and equipping you even to live in the days in which we live, which I think is going to take a lot more stamina and spiritual walk than many of you may realize as the days get darker and darker, getting closer to the return of the Lord. And so Joseph and Mary had to do this for training, if you will. God was working in their life. And again, I don't want to discourage you. Again, I think about we're doing a teaching today on sorrow. We are rejoicing. It is a time to rejoice. But again, realize it is a very real part of many of those lives that are in this room right here and many of the lives of those that are across this nation. But God wants you to know it will pass with time. And even as God restored the joy to Joseph and Mary, God will restore that joy to you. You know, it's interesting. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Yes, in the world, you will have tribulation. We would say sorrow. We would say even at Christmas time when it seems like it shouldn't be. But the Lord said this, rejoice, I've overcome it. And my prayer for you is that God would help you overcome any grief that you may be feeling or experiencing here at Christmas time, because that's where the power of the Lord comes in. This earth is only temporary. Sorrow is only temporary, but joy comes in the morning and it is eternal. And so may God give you that joy even today. Now, again, we talk about why, you know, you say, well, how can I endure this? How can I have joy when I'm so filled with sorrow right now? Whatever your reason is that you have the sorrow, listen to what it says about Jesus in Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Note that. He endured the cross, the sorrow, the agony, the misery. Why? He despising the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, because he understood this life was temporary, this sorrow was temporary, this suffering is temporary, and the kingdom of heaven and joy is eternal, he was able to endure, and not only endure, he was able to overcome. And you're going to be able to do the same thing if you trust the Lord and focus on him in the midst of that. Again, it's so important in this time of sorrow that you look to the Lord and the ultimate end of what God has for you. And this keeps your life and this moment in perspective, even as Joseph and Mary needed to do. Now, again, we're going to jump into some more scripture in just a moment, but I want to make this point. There's three main things that I want you to have today before you leave, that I want you to understand and grasp. And number one, that is, first of all, if you're experiencing sorrow at this time of year, you are not alone. You're not the only one experiencing this sorrow. Other people in this room and other people around the United States in this world are experiencing sorrow at this time. And God is allowing that, but God is going to work through that. You just need to know you're not by yourself. It's interesting how the enemy makes us feel isolated. I'm the only one that's not enjoying the holidays. I'm the only one that's sad. I'm the only one that's had these tragedies take place. Well, tell that to Joseph and Mary, because they had to deal with these things as well. Secondly, Joseph and Mary knew exactly how you feel right now because they went through it. And if Joseph and Mary could go through it and God allowed them to go through it, then God can see you through it as well. And note this, sometimes when we go through times of sorrow, we think, well, God doesn't love me. Why isn't God loving me? Why isn't God doing this and that? Look, if God allowed this to happen to the parents he chose to be his earthly parents, then God is loving you as well. It doesn't mean you're not loved because you're going through a hard time. It means that God is doing a work. And thirdly, that God can overwhelm and heal those feelings and memories and replace them once again with hope and joy. As we said, there's never a good time for a tragedy, right? But it seems to be worse and magnified at Christmas because it's a time that we're supposed to be rejoicing. Now, In Luke and Matthew, we see a brand new couple. We're introduced to a new young couple that's in love. Now imagine this couple, those of you that can remember, you know, being young and falling in love and the way you felt and how it was. This was Joseph and Mary. They were just a young couple living very meager lives. They fell deeply in love. They had been betrothed to be married. By the way, when you were betrothed back in that day, you were already committed legally. So once you made that proposal, it was legal. And the only way you could separate that was by an actual divorce, by legal measures. So you were betrothed. It was the same as being married. They're now married, if you will, one to another, not yet consummating the marriage, not yet living together, but already promised to each other and committed to each other, in love with each other. Yet all their hopes and dreams are going to be suddenly dashed and thrown into confusion by none other than an angel of God. And note this, at none other time than Christmas. The time that we think of as the most celebrated time of the year. Again, remember, they were there at the first Christmas. They didn't know all of this at that time. But you have to remember, it was Christmas when all this heaviness came into Joseph and Mary's life. And look what happens here. This happy couple now gets everything thrown into flux in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now, again, what's going to happen right after this? Mary might be questioning, have I really found favor with God or not? Again, we think about Reptevia, you know, and Fiddler on the Roof. He said, you're the chosen people. He said, Lord, could you choose somebody else for a little while, right? Because everything seems to be so hard. He says, you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So Mary is now filled with inexpressible joy. Guys, think about this. The first Christmas, inexpressible joy. Why? It was every woman's desire in the Jewish community to be the one that carried the Messiah. As a matter of fact, they called it the desire of women. One of the names for the Messiah was the desire of women. Why? Because every woman wanted to be the one. And by the way, there would only be one. And in all of eternity, there's only been one, and that's Mary. And God said, Mary, you're it. Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the excitement that filled Mary's heart? But now can you imagine Mary going to the man she loves to try to explain this event? Mary goes to Joseph, and Joseph, I've got some great news. What is it? You're not going to believe what happened. And of course, he's not thinking this yet, but you're right, I'm not going to believe it. And she says to him, you know what, Joseph, an angel came to me, and an angel told me that I'm going to be the one to carry the Messiah. An angel said that I'm pregnant, and it's the Messiah. And he's like, Mary, you're pregnant? Yes, but it's not what you think. The angel said, Mary, look, I want to believe you, and I love you with all my heart. I'm crushed right now, Mary, but you have to know, I don't believe this. I can't believe it. But Joseph, Mary, I can't. We've got to call this off. And Mary went from being on top of the mountaintop in joy at the Christmas season to being crushed to her very core. The one that she loved the most and wanted to spend the rest of her life with believed she was lying and had now broken off the marriage. And maybe you're in a situation where at Christmas time, a marriage that you had, a relationship that you had fell apart and you were crushed by it. And every time now the season comes around, that's all you can think about. Look, God's going to restore that joy to Mary. God is faithful to do that. It wasn't just Mary that was suffering this, though. Also notice that Joseph was. Remember, Joseph had to deal with this as well. And it says in Matthew 1, verses 18 through 19, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and he was indeed a just man, I'll explain that more in a second, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Guys, understand this. How would you feel if that had happened to you? The one that you were engaged to suddenly shows up pregnant. Right? Or they find out that the man you're engaged to has been with another woman. There could be rage. There could be all kinds of emotions. Look at the character of Joseph. Joseph, in that day, by the way, you have to understand adultery, which that would have been, that came with a death penalty. He not only could have had rage, he could have had Mary put to death, and in a very gruesome way, which you don't have time to get into. But the reality is, you know what he did? He said, no, I can't do that to Mary. I love Mary. I'm crushed. I love her, but I'm going to put her away privately. And now both Joseph and Mary are crushed to their very core at the Christmas season, at Christmas time, in the very first Christmas. Again, maybe exactly where you are this morning, but they know what you felt. They know exactly what you were going through. As a matter of fact, they know what it's like to lose a spouse. But you might say, you know what? Yeah, but that was only temporary for them. That may be true, but they still felt the pain of losing that spouse at Christmas time, and God was still able to restore them with joy. And you may have that pain this morning, but God is more than able to restore you with the joy that he wants you to have. I don't know if he'll restore your marriage. I don't know. He might. But I know this, God will give you hope and God will restore you if you trust the Lord and keep your eyes on him. And again, Joseph here, the same thing. I think about Joseph, not just being crushed at losing his wife, but the level of betrayal. Now, Mary wouldn't have felt betrayal because she knew what she was saying was true. But Joseph, as far as Joseph knew, his best friend had just betrayed him to the deepest core. Guys, listen, the whole world may betray, but you always think there's that one person, my spouse, my whatever, name the person, they would never do it. And then suddenly it happens, at least you think it does. Imagine how crushed Joseph was. And so God was working in their lives. Understand what God was teaching Joseph and Mary is although you may not be able to depend on even your closest confidant in this world, you can always depend on me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never hurt you. I will never turn away from you. And there, yes, God's going to restore all this, but it was a deep lesson they needed to learn. And the purpose in your sorrow this morning, if indeed you're there, may be for that very purpose. You may be feeling hurt by some betrayal or whatever the case might be. But the bottom line is the Lord is going to restore that. And again, if you think you're not loved, just think about the love that God had for Joseph and Mary. So don't think because you're going through this that you're not loved. As a matter of fact, it may be because you're so greatly loved that you're going through this as God is transforming and changing you into his image. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says that God changes us from glory to glory. But I found oftentimes for me, it seems to be from gory to gory, you know, right? But God is faithful either way to do that. And sometimes it's a rough road, but God is faithful in the midst of it. So we have crushing. We have broken hearts. We have betrayal. At least that's what they think, but it wasn't done there. The Christmas story for them, the first Christmas goes on, there was family rejection. Anyone ever experienced that? Again, how do I know that? Because again, remember, if you're in that day you were found to be pregnant, again, that was a total casting out of society. It's very common in our day today for people to have children out of wedlock. It was not the case in that day. As I said, this could be a death penalty in that day. They literally put people to death for adultery. And again, your family would shun you. As a matter of fact, it may be because that Mary was pregnant and they weren't yet married that when they went to Bethlehem, there was no place for them to stay. Again, we don't know that, but that's where they were from. Both of them were from there. They no doubt had family in Bethlehem. Why didn't their family invite them in? Why didn't their family take them in? I can't say that's the reason because the Bible doesn't make that clear, but I wonder if it's because of family shame and rejection. You've got this thing going on with the Messiah. We're going to reject you. Some of you have a thing going on with the Messiah, and you've been rejected by your family. And it comes around to Christmas, and it's very painful. It's very hard. It hurts you because of this relationship. The Lord is your family. The Lord will never reject you. The Lord is going to be your comforter. You hang on to him regardless. Again, as we said, he is the rock that we can stand on that will never fade away. But once again, remember, this all happened because of Christmas. So they again, were in this very place that you may be struggling in. For a time, they both lost the love of their lives. They lost their hope. They lost their home. They lost their dreams. And all due to Christmas. How difficult the first Christmas was for Joseph and Mary. And yet we see and we know that God restored them and blessed them in tremendous ways. Now, again, if God can do that for them, God can do that for us. But now, just when you thought maybe the story was ending with their troubles, it doesn't end there. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Now, this command couldn't have come at a worse time. Mary is right at the point of giving birth. It's not that long of a trip to come down from Galilee to Bethlehem. And we know that as soon as she got there, she had Jesus. So imagine she has this government-enforced move she's got to make that makes a hardship on this pregnant Mary as she's traveling this Christmas season and makes a hardship on the responsible husband, Joseph. Again, look at all the things that were happening. Just at the time when they should have been rejoicing, all of these things begin to cave in around them. Maybe some of you feel that way this morning. Again, I want you to know that's what Joseph and Mary felt, and to know that you're not alone. Again, as you know, they ended up in a cave, which was an animal stable with no one to help them, none of the regular comforts of life, which, by the way, is bad enough, but imagine being there and being pregnant. Again, this made it even that much harder. But here's what I want you to note, and we've already touched on it. This is so key for today. Notice what this hard Christmas, and if you're in a hard Christmas right now, notice what this hard Christmas did for the first couple at Christmas, the first Christmas we ever experienced. It forced them to be driven to God and to learn to depend on God, and that through it all, regardless of relationships and all these other things, God would be faithful, and God was faithful. And I want you to know that this morning, regardless of what you're going through, God is faithful. He will be faithful, and he will strengthen you through the midst of this. So don't lose it. Whether it's extremely hard, worrisome, or lonely, God is going to push you closer to him through this and going to see you through this tough and difficult time, even when you feel like maybe there's no hope and there's no way that God could work that in your life. Again, God shows himself faithful, and God uses all these instances to do it. But again, we're not done. Again, more difficulties came into their life. Due to an unforeseen difficulty and danger from Herod, they find themselves having to leave their home and go to Egypt. Again, remember, Herod, when he found out that there was a prophecy of the Messiah to be born, he wanted to kill the Messiah, and he said, kill all the children, 2 years old and younger, that is the young boys, go to Bethlehem region and kill them all. And now we see if God hadn't warned Joseph and Mary in a dream, they could have fallen victim to that as well. But of course, God wouldn't have allowed that to happen. And so now they actually even have to leave their home at Christmas time. They lose their home. Maybe some of you have lost a home at Christmas time. Maybe some of you are about to feel maybe you're going to lose your home now. Joseph and Mary know what you feel like, and God was in control of every bit of it. God was even directing it. And so what I want you to note is this. God was faithful in their marriage. He was faithful in their relationships. He was faithful in material and financial needs, even faithful in how to survive a sudden move to a new home in Egypt. And if you find yourself in any of these places today, God's going to be faithful to you as well. Listen, if your Christmas this year is one of fullness and joy and blessing with your family and friends, praise the Lord. God is blessing you. It's a wonderful season. And I hope that it never gets anything other than that. But the reality is, if you live long enough, there's probably going to be some bad and hard Christmases. And if that's where you are this morning, if your Christmas this year has a sense of loneliness, of separation, of rejection, of struggle, praise the Lord as well. And why do I say that? Because although it may not be fun, God is using it to teach you deep and valuable lessons, even as he did for Joseph and Mary. And even as the Lord was able to rejoice because of the joy set before him, what his Spirit will do, if you'll allow him, is help you to rejoice for the joy set before. This will pass. This is temporary. And guys, forever, we're going to be in the kingdom of God together. It's interesting. One of the songs that Rodrigo played today, as he was playing that song in one of the services, for some reason, I had this image in my mind of all of us in the kingdom together in the palace of the Lord. And we were dancing and celebrating and smiling and feasting. And I mean, old friends, everyone together, even enemies. In my mind, I saw people that I know that don't like me. And yet they were smiling at me. And I'm not saying it was a vision from God, but it was like this whole thing in heaven. None of that matters anymore. We're family and we're rejoicing as far as that goes. And then right after I had that picture in my mind, Rodrigo says up here, you know, every time I play that song, I imagine people dancing before the Lord, you know. I can't do a good Rodrigo, but I'll try. I can't do it. Anyway, sorry. All I can roll my R's is draw them on paper and then, no, I'm just kidding. I can roll my R's a little bit. But either way, but the bottom line is, guys, is all this is temporary. This too shall pass. And God is going to bring you joy again if that's where you find your place. He's the giver of all good things, and he's going to be the one that's going to see you through this. And again, remember, even as God loved Joseph and Mary, he loves you as well, and the Lord will see you through all of it. So after looking at all this today and seeing all that they went through at Christmas time, maybe there's been something you can grab onto and say, you know what, that's me, but I'm still having trouble rejoicing. I'm still having trouble magnifying. Look, I want to encourage you to do something. The Bible says that God gives us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And that is, as we begin to give God praise, as we begin to magnify the Lord, that garment that's weighing you down, that garment that is so sorrowful will drop off and God will replace it with praise. No, maybe all of your problems won't disappear. I realize that. That's not going to always happen. But the reality is God will now wrap you in a brand new garment. And it's going to be one of praise and of joy and being able to wait on the Lord until this time passes for God to restore that joy in your life. Now, I want to read you something as we finish here that Mary did, and Mary was able to do that. And what do I mean by that? Mary was right in the middle of all these things falling apart. This wasn't at the end of the story where everything had happened. I realize that. But where we're going to see, Mary had gone to visit Elizabeth. And this was the time where already she had told Joseph that she was pregnant and Joseph had rejected her. And Mary's in the midst of all these different emotions, the highs, the lows, the deep sorrow at Christmas time, this first Christmas. And Mary goes to see Elizabeth and she realizes that God is going to be faithful to fulfill what he said he's going to do. She sees that Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist, not knowing who he was yet, but she, again, knowing that Elizabeth was going to be having the forerunner of the Messiah, that she was carrying the Messiah for the joy set before her. Listen to what Mary said. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 52, she said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant." Note that. "For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly." Mary was able to praise and exalt the Lord in the midst of a very sad and hard Christmas. Are you in a lowly state this morning? You say, "I'm here, but I'm in a lowly state. Nobody knows what I'm going through." God does. And you're not the first one to go through it. And as I said over and over, because I'm trying to drive it home, you're not alone. If you're in a lowly state, I want you to magnify the Lord like Mary did. But Mark, I don't feel like magnifying the Lord. Do it anyway. I want you to, during the last song, to magnify the Lord. I want you to encourage you during the Christmas season when you go home, put on some worship and magnify the Lord, because God will take that spirit of heaviness and God will give you a garment of praise. I've seen him be faithful in all the years I've walked with him. I've been through many sorrows, maybe not some of the same sorrows you've been through. But after all these years of walking with the Lord, I've been through many sorrows. And the bottom line is I've seen that God has been faithful every single time, not only to give me what I need to get through the sorrow, but to make me more like Jesus by the time I'm on the other side of it. And he will do the same thing for you as well if you're in that lowly state this morning. He will have mercy on you. He will rejoice your heart. Now, my prayer for us here at Calvary is that we, like Joseph and Mary, again, can rejoice and magnify the Lord regardless of our situations that are happening this season. And again, I'm going to pray in just a moment that God will fill you with that joy if you're having that struggle. And I also want to pray for those of you who may not even know the Lord. There may be somebody this morning that, you know, you came to church and maybe you're a family member, maybe you're a friend, maybe you visit church on just rare occasion, but you're here this morning. This isn't by chance. Understand, this is not random. The Bible says God controls all things, whether you believe that at this moment or not. I've seen that to be true. That's what the Word of God says, and that's what God proclaims. He brought you here, and he's been right now ministering to your heart. He's been letting you know that he loves you. He's been letting you know that you need him. And if you know that, listen, if you want to have fullness of joy, there's nothing like receiving Jesus Christ and having eternal life and losing your sin to give you fullness of joy. It's simply a matter of recognizing you're a sinner and saying, "Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe you died for me on the cross. I receive you as my Lord and Savior." And the Bible says if you do that, your garment of heaviness will drop to the ground. You'll be wrapped in a garment of praise and joy, and not just for the moment, but it's going to be everlasting joy in the kingdom of God. And I encourage you, if God is moving in your heart, don't put him off. Respond to that this morning. So as we finish, I want to pray for all the sweet saints who have a spirit of heaviness. I want to rejoice with those of you that are rejoicing. The Bible says rejoice with those who rejoice, but weep with those who weep, and invite those who have not yet come to the table to receive the Lord. Let's finish this day doing just that. Let's pray. Lord, I want to pray. First of all, I want to thank you, God, for all the sweet saints in here that are filled with joy this season. Things are going great. It's a great time of life. Lord, let them rejoice unashamedly. And just enjoy the season and enjoy you, Lord. And just, again, even give them more joy than they have and before they had when they walked in this place. But Lord, I pray for those right now that have that spirit of sorrow. Maybe their Christmas is like the first Christmas was with Joseph and Mary, a time that was very hard, a time they were crushed, a time they had fear, a time they had hardship materially and just even in travel, a time of hardship with family, rejection, betrayal, all kinds of emotions that were going on. And yet in the midst of it, Lord, there was the underlying joy that was set before them to know that this was such a higher thing you were doing. You were working something eternal in their life. And I pray that right now for those in this room that had that sorrow, they would know that you are working something eternal. This is not just a moment. This is eternity that you're in charge of. And you're making them like you. And there's going to be joy inexpressible forever and ever and ever. God, encourage them right now and strengthen them by your Spirit. And God, for those in here that don't know you, and there's bound to be some, either right now in here or listening by radio or watching online, you know you've never given your life to the Lord, and God has convicted you right now. You need Jesus Christ. You know you have sin. You know that if you died, you wouldn't go to heaven, but you know that's something that you want. Jesus offers that gift to you this Christmas. You simply have to do this. Confess that you're a sinner. Say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe you died for me on the cross. Just pray that prayer to him in your heart. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. I leave my past behind. And now I choose to follow you, not just the rest of my days, but for the rest of eternity. Father, I know for all three of these groups, you're doing a work right now. And I thank you for that. I pray now, God, you would just pour out a spirit of grace and mercy and love and power and peace upon your precious flock right now. And let us receive it by faith. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. We bless you. We magnify you. We celebrate you. And we give you all the glory now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen, amen. May God richly bless you in this Christmas season, whether you're filled with joy or having a struggle. May God richly bless you. Hold on to the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Let God minister to your heart and give him that praise so this old garment can drop off and a garment of praise can replace it. Have a great and merry Christmas. And so let's stand together and go out worshiping the Lord. If you need prayer, we'll be able to pray with you. God bless you guys. Let's worship.
Stories I live to tell, so I'll
witnessed it. You have. You heal and I've witnessed it. You save and I've witnessed it. And I'm confident that I see it again and again. You're good and I've witnessed it. Yes, you are. You're strong and I've witnessed it. You're constant, I've witnessed it. And I'm confident that I'll see it again and again.
You're loving, I've witnessed it. You're healing, I've witnessed it. You're saving, I've witnessed it. And I'm confident I'll see it again and again. I've witnessed your faithfulness. I see you bring life when
so
Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to our live stream. We love and appreciate every one of you. If you're in need of prayer, please call the number on your screen or visit the prayer page on our website and let us know how we can pray for you. If you're into social media, be sure and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel and ring the bell to be notified when we go live or post a new video. And lastly, you can download our church app by going to calvaryknoxville.org/app. Thanks again for watching, and God bless.